and do not argue on behalf of those who deceive themselves. Surely Allah does not like anyone who is a betrayer, sinner. They may hide their crimes from people, but they cannot hide them from Allah. You can fool some of the people some of the time, but we cannot fool Allah at all. For He is with them when they plot by night in words that He does not approve. And Allah ever encompasses what they do. Lo, you are those who have argued for them in the life of this world. But who will argue for them on the day of judgment against Allah, or who will then be their defender? And whoever does evil or wrongs himself, but afterwards seeks Allah's forgiveness, he will find Allah most forgiving, most merciful. This is Allah's rahmah upon us. Nowhere in the Quran are we told, well, if you've done all these sins, then there's no hope for you. No. Allah says in Surah Az-Zumar, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنُطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Tell my slaves, those who have transgressed against themselves, do not despair of the mercy of Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Allah forgives all sins. Just turn to Him and ask. And whoever earns sins, he earns it only against himself. Not that we think, well, Allah needs our obedience. No. If we are sinning, we are hurting ourselves. And Allah is all-knowing, all-wise. And whoever earns a fault or a sin and then throws it onto someone innocent, he has indeed burdened himself with falsehood and a manifest sin. Had not the grace of Allah and His mercy been upon you, a party of them would certainly have made a decision to mislead you. But they mislead none except their own selves, and no harm can they do to you in the least. Allah has sent down to you the book and wisdom, and taught you that which you did not know. وَكَانَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ عَظِيمًا. And ever great is the grace of Allah upon you. There is no good in most of their secret whisperings, except in Him who orders charity, all that which is good, or reconciliation between mankind. If three Muslims are sitting together or a group of Muslims are sitting together, it's totally discourteous and against the Islamic image that one or two of them should start whispering amongst themselves. The only situation where it's allowed is if you're telling someone to give a sadaqah secretly and you don't want to announce it openly. Or you're saying something because you want to cause a reconciliation between some people. And whoever does this, in other words, does whispering for this reason, because he's doing something which is right or saying something which is good, seeking the pleasure of Allah, we shall give him a great reward. And whoever opposes the messenger, again and again, obedience of the Prophet ﷺ is being stressed. After the right path has been shown clearly to him and follows other than the believer's way. Not that we invent a separate sect of our own and say, well, I can understand the Quran myself and I'll just live it by my own understanding. Allah says, no, whoever follows other than the believer's way, we shall keep him in the path he has chosen and burn him in hell. And what an evil destination. Why? Because Allah has sent us a perfect way of life, as we find in the Quran, embodied by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life. We don't need to find another option for ourselves. And Allah repeats, indeed Allah does not forgive the sin of setting up partners in worship with Allah, but He forgives whom He wills. Sin other than that. And whoever sets up partners in worship with Allah has indeed strayed far away. They invoke nothing but female deities besides Allah, and they invoke nothing but Shaitan, a persistent rebel. La'anahullah. Allah dismisses him in two words. Allah cursed Shaitan. And as I mentioned earlier, Allah's curse means that he was deprived of Allah's mercy. And Shaitan said, I will take an appointed portion of your slave. Now when you read the words of Shaitan, you feel anger. Look at the confident way he speaks, as if we're all puppets that he's going to manipulate. Indeed, I will definitely mislead them. And indeed, I will definitely arouse in them false desires. And certainly I will order them to slit the ears of cattle. And certainly I will order them to change the nature created by Allah. And this has been his greatest success. See, Shaitan is saying that I will order them to slit the ears of cattle. This refers to a senseless ritual that the pagans had invented. And it just embodies, it just symbolizes any senseless ritual of shirk which people have invented. And we've seen many such rituals in our own society. And he says, and I will order them to change the nature created by Allah. What is Fitratullah? Fitratullah we find embodied in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when we strike out against that and we say, no, no, that's backward, then we are changing the nature created by Allah. And we see in this day and age so many such changes, so many perversions, not just homosexuality and lesbianism, but look at cloning. And when people undergo unnecessary plastic surgery, when people undergo, you know, sex change operations, when we see genetic engineering and all of this, we need to remember this is an attempt to change the nature of Allah, the nature created by Allah. And whoever takes Shaitan as a protector instead of Allah has surely suffered a manifest loss. How does Shaitan operate? Allah warns us. Ya'iduhum. He makes promises to them. There's so much time to obey Allah. You've got lots of time. What are you worried about? Why are you spoiling your youth? Leave Allah for your old age. Wayumannihim. He gives them false hopes, false encouragements. وَمَا يَعِدُهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا. And Shaitan's promises are nothing but deception, like a mirage. Like a traveler lost in the desert, he sees what he thinks is a spring of water. He stumbles towards it to discover there is nothing there. In the same way, Shaitan deludes us. Allah will forgive you. Allah knows how much you love him. Till you reach at the end of your life, and suddenly it's all over and there's no time to do any good deeds. Shaitan's promises are nothing but deception. The dwelling of such people is hell, and they will find no way of escape from it. But those who believe and do good deeds, we shall admit them to the gardens under which rivers flow, to dwell therein forever. وَعَدَ اللَّهِ حَقَّا. Allah's promise is the truth, not like Shaitan's promise. And whose words can be truer than those of Allah? It will not be in accordance with your desires, nor those of the people of the scripture. Another way Shaitan operates? Complacency. Oh, we're born Muslims. We're the Prophet's Ummah. So he's bound to intercede for us. Allah warns us, no. A title or a label is not going to help you. Whoever works evil will have the recompense thereof. Not that we're the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's Ummah. Of, I'm a Sayyid, so my sins are automatically forgiven. No. No discrimination. Whoever works evil will have the recompense thereof, and he will not find any protector or helper besides Allah. وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِنَ الصَّالِحَاتِ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ. Whoever does good deeds, male or female, true equality, and is a true believer, such will enter paradise, and not the least injustice, even the size of a speck on a date stone will be done to them. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ دِينًا مِّمَّنْ أَسْلَمَ وَجْهَهُ لِلَّهِ. Who can be more beautiful in way of life than one who surrenders his face to Allah? Wajh means two things. It means face. What comes in our face? Our eyes. That our eyes see what Allah wants us to see. Our mouth speaks that which Allah wants us to speak. Our ears listen to that which Allah wants us to hear. And our mind functions the way Allah wants us to think. And the second meaning of wajh is the core, the essence of your personality. That your inner core belongs to Allah. That your heart belongs to Allah. Inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alameen. My prayer, my ways of worship, my life, my death, all belong to Allah. Who can be more beautiful in way of life than one who surrenders his core to Allah? And he does ihsan. And what is ihsan? Anta abudallaha ka annaka tarahu. When you worship Allah, as if you can see him. Imagine how we would pray if we could see Allah's nur, if we could see Allah's glory and magnificence. We would be trembling with awe and fear. Allah says he does ihsan, he does the best, and he follows the path of Ibrahim, unswerving, focused, upright. وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. The most beautiful words. Allah chose Ibrahim as a friend. When we gain the friendship of someone important or someone charismatic or someone that people admire, how proud you feel. وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. Allah chose Ibrahim as a friend. Why? Because Ibrahim alayhi salam surrendered his core to Allah. إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ. When his Lord told him, submit, what did he say? I don't have time, I'm not ready, I'm too young. قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. That's it. I surrender. And why shouldn't I surrender when this is Rabbul Alameen? What is our heart's response when we read a verse in which Allah has commanded us to do something? That's too difficult. How can I do that? Well, not yet. Let me think about it. وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. Instant obedience. Instant response. Allah chose Ibrahim as a friend. And that's not just an ordinary friendship. وَلِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. What an honor for Ibrahim alayhi salam. Because to Allah belongs all that is in the heavens and all that is in the earth. And Allah is ever encompassing all things. Now we find towards the conclusion, Allah repeats rights of women. See, this is the style of the Quranic discourse. Allah doesn't go on and on about one thing. No, Allah tells us a little, gives us some time to absorb it, to internalize it, and then comes back to the same theme. يَسْتَفْتُونَكَ فِي النِّسَاءِ. They ask you about women. Say, Allah instructs you about them, and about what is recited unto you in the book, concerning the orphan girls to whom you do not give their prescribed portions. And if we look at the exploitation of women in our society, we can read this ayah. And those whom you desire to marry, when men marry women, poor girls, and they don't give them their mehr and they abuse them. And concerning the children who are weak and oppressed, and that you stand firm for justice to orphans. وَمَا تَفْعَلُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ. Whatever good you do, Allah is all aware of it. Don't just think, you know, because we find Muslim men who might be reading all their prayers in the mosque and they are the worst husbands. Allah says, no, Islam is a perfect, complete way of life. Whatever good you do, Allah is all aware of it. And if a woman, now we come to the other scenario, that if the woman fears cruelty or desertion on her husband's part, there is no sin on them both. If they make terms of peace between themselves, وَالصُلْحُ خَيْرٌ, and making peace is better. Now this is very important to understand, because women are heard to complain, well, Allah doesn't grant us our rights. This is from the woman's side of the picture. What happens if the woman is in a situation where the husband is being cruel to her? Now this is not just normal range of moodiness that the husband's had a bad day at the office and he comes home in a bad temper. No, this is a situation which is threatening to the stability of the home. He's beating her up. He's beating her up badly. Then Allah says, then there is no sin on them both if they make terms of peace between themselves. According to Thomas Cleary, the hint over here is that the woman should not let it go on too long. And we see so many situations where the woman goes on suffering in silence, sometimes for the sake of the children, sometimes because she has no other place to go to. Allah says, no. وَالصُلْحُ خَيْرٌ. Making peace is better. Don't just sweep it under the carpet. Talk it out. Bring it out in the open. Resolve the situation. Because sometimes women end up getting beaten to death literally. And they're so emotionally scarred at the end of it. Allah says, if the woman is in a situation where the husband is doing this to her, then she has a right to take a stand for herself. And making peace is better. They should both compromise. They should both reach a solution, not let this situation get out of hand. وَأُحْبِرَتِ الْأَنفُسُ شُحٌّ. And Allah warns us that when they start out making this peace, they're both going to find that human inner selves are swayed by selfishness. But if you do good and keep away from evil, Allah is well acquainted with what you do. And you will never be able to do perfect justice between wives, even if it is your ardent desire. The point is, Allah is saying that this is human nature, that no man will be able to treat two or three or four wives equally. Their temperaments will be different, their natures will be different. So what then is the solution? So do not incline too much to one of them so as to leave the other suspended. This is a revelation on how men are supposed to treat women. A man has more than one wife. What should he do? All right, it's humanly impossible for him to treat both of them exactly the same way. So does that mean that he shouldn't even try? Allah says, no. Don't deprive one of them. Don't leave her suspended. That neither is she enjoying the happiness of a married woman, nor does she have the freedom of an unmarried woman. Leaving her as one suspended. And if you do justice and do all that is right and fear Allah by keeping away from all that is wrong, then Allah is all forgiving, most merciful. See, Allah knows the secrets of our hearts and Allah knows exactly how much any man is trying. That's why we find in the hadith the gist of which is that if a man has two wives and he is unjust to one of them, on the day of judgment he will come with half a body. And that's a very frightening punishment. But why? Because Allah is teaching the man to appreciate his wife and take care of her. And even if he finds himself unable to love her the way he loves the other one, then he should not make the second wife or the first wife feel slighted or ignored or neglected. As when the Quran, Allah tells us, if there is something about your wives you dislike, it may be that you dislike something, but Allah has put much good in it. The wife is not being taught that. The husband is taught tolerance for the wife's faults. Even if you see something in her which irritates you, overlook it. That's what the husband is being taught. This is Islam's value for us women. See how Allah is protecting our rights and teaching the husbands to value their wives, to take care of them. Remember, الرِّجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ. They have to take care of women. They have to make them feel cared for and protected and loved. And if you do justice and do all that is right, then Allah is all forgiving, most merciful. But if they separate by divorce, so what happens is the situation is too intolerable and they separate by divorce. And this again is a rahmah from Allah. We find that Roman Catholics are not allowed to divorce, which leads to lifetimes of misery for both the partners. In Islam, we find abghadul halal indallah, the most detested of the halal things with Allah is divorce. But Allah says there are situations, if the limb is cancerous, then you amputate it. So if this marriage is not surviving, then they're not supposed to undergo a lifetime of misery and hell. If they separate by divorce, Allah reassures them. Allah will provide abundance for every one of them from His bounty. This is again counseling from Allah, that if someone has been through this situation of divorce, they should think positively. Not as, you know, in the Hindu perspective that this woman cannot marry again or they should just be cast off or treated as shudras. No, Allah will provide abundance for each one of them from His bounty. They should get a move on with their lives. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ وَاسِعًا حَكِيمًا. Do you doubt that? Do you doubt Allah's treasuries? If someone has been through one failed marriage, does not mean that their lives are going to go on being miserable. Allah is vast. His treasuries, His mercy, His love is boundless. Hakima, all wise. And He knows why that person had to go through that pain. Maybe to cleanse them of their sins. Maybe to raise their degrees. Wasi'an Hakima. Vast, all-embracing, all-wise. وَلِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. To Allah belongs all that is in the heavens and all that is in the earth. Nothing is impossible for Him. He has to declare matter and say, كُن فَيَكُون, and it will be. And indeed, we have recommended to the people of the book before you and to you that you fear Allah and keep your duty to Him. But if you disbelieve, you can't accept this, you turn away, then fine. To Allah belongs all that is in the heavens and all that is in the earth. Allah does not need us, we need Him. And Allah is غَنِيًا, self-sufficient, حَمِيدًا, worthy of all praise. He doesn't need our praise, He is praiseworthy in Himself. And for the third time Allah repeats, وَلِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. To Allah belongs all that is in the heavens and all that is in the earth. And Allah is all-sufficient as disposer of affairs. If He wills, He can take you away, O people, and bring others. And Allah is all able to do that. مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ ثَوَابَ الدُّنْيَا فَعِنْدَ اللَّهِ ثَوَابُ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Whoever desires the reward of this world, then with Allah is the reward of the world and the reward of the hereafter. And Allah is all hearer, all seer. Hazrat Ali once remarked, there's the worker of work in the world, for the world, who is preoccupied by work and distracted from ultimate destiny. And many people spend their lives like that, just caught up in the rut of their ordinary day-to-day lives. Then there is the worker of work in the world for what is after it, who lives his life in this world, but his thoughts are centered on the hereafter. Ambitions, hopes, aspirations revolving around Allah's goodwill. And Hazrat Ali went on to say that the one who works in this world for the hereafter, he becomes master of both the houses. He gets the dunya and the hereafter. So we need to broaden our vision and widen our horizons. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا. Allah is all-hearing, all-seeing. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. O you who believe, stand up firmly for justice as witnesses for Allah. Now if you've noticed, Surah An-Nisa deals with human relationships. Relationships with your parents, relationships with your spouse, with your children, with your neighbors. Now what happens is, in human relationships, we tend to be swayed by prejudices, by biases, by likes and dislikes. You know that your son is mistreating his wife. You know that your brother is being cruel to his wife, but because he's your brother, you keep quiet and you side with him. Allah says no. Stand up firmly for justice as witnesses to Allah. This testimony is not simply in a court of law. It's in every situation where you can stand up and say something and you keep quiet. Even though it be against yourself or your parents or your relatives, be he rich or poor, Allah is a better protector to both than you. So follow not the desires, lest you avoid justice. And if you distort your witness or refuse to give it, sometimes people can speak up, but they keep quiet and they say, well, why should I take the blame for this? They can save that marriage. They can save that woman from being mistreated, but they keep quiet because they're too lazy or too frightened to speak up. Allah says, if you distort your testimony or refuse to give it, you don't want to take that stand for justice, then Allah is well acquainted with what you do. He's watching the way you could have saved someone and you didn't. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. O you who believe in Allah and His Messenger and the book which He has sent down to His Messenger and the scripture which He sent down to those before Him. And whoever disbelieves in Allah, His angels, His books, His messengers in the last day, فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا بَعِيدًا. Then he has strayed far away. Look at this ayat. It seems like a contradiction. O you who believe in Allah and His Messenger. Allah is telling us, polish your iman. Revive your iman. Don't just sit back and stagnate and think, well, I've read my 5 prayers for the day and I read a lot of Quran in Ramzan, so I've done my duty for this year. No, believe in Allah. When you have a beautiful diamond or you have a precious jewel, you need to keep on polishing it. You need to keep on cleaning it lest it get dirty or tarnished. In the same way, polish your iman. Don't let your iman get rusty or stagnate. Believe in Allah and His Messenger and the book which He has sent down to His Messenger and the book which He sent down to those before Him. Because indeed those who believe, then disbelieve, then believe again and again disbelieve and go on increasing in disbelief, Allah will not forgive them nor guide them to the right path. Who are these people? Bashir al-Munafiqeen. These are the hypocrites. Give to the hypocrites the news that there is for them a painful torment. Who are the hypocrites? Allah defines them. Those who take the disbelievers for friends instead of believers. They're more interested in impressing non-Muslims, in having non-Muslims for friends and being with the in crowd, the cool crowd, and being with the mu'mineen. أَيَبْتَغُونَ عِنْدَهُمُ الْعِزَّةِ Allah asks contemptuously, do they seek honor with them? Is that what they think? That the non-Muslim smile means more to them than praying salat for Allah? Do they seek honor with them? فَإِنَّ الْعِزَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا Indeed, to Allah belongs all honor, power and glory. See, Allah says their tragedy is that they are seeking honor with one who has no honor to give. And it has already been revealed to you in the book that when you hear the verses of Allah being denied and mocked at, then do not sit with them. You're in a situation where there are people, now Allah doesn't say whether these are Muslims mocking the Quran or non-Muslims, because nowadays we find Muslims mocking the Quran. Then do not sit with them until they engage in a talk other than that. And we're all familiar with, you know, these foolish party disputes which arise. Well, why are two women's testimony equal to one man? And why isn't trust forbidden? And why isn't the word haram been used for wine in the Quran? Allah says, when you hear the verses of Allah being denied, do not sit with such people until they engage in a talk other than that. Certainly in that case, you would be like them. Even if you're just sitting there smiling, not saying anything, then you're at their level. Surely Allah will collect the hypocrites and the disbelievers all together in hell. Those hypocrites who wait and watch about you, if you gain a victory from Allah, they say, were we not with you? But if the disbelievers gain a success, they say to them, did we not gain mastery over you and did we not protect you from the believers? Allahu yahkumu bainakum. Allah will judge between you all on the day of judgment, and never will Allah grant to the disbelievers a way over the believers. Inna al-munafiqina yukhadi'un Allah wa huwa khadi'uhum. What is it that Allah detests most about the hypocrites? Indeed, the hypocrites try and deceive Allah. But it is He who is deceiving them. The hypocrite who wants the best of both worlds, who wants everyone to love him, who doesn't like to be unpopular. Allah says they try and deceive Allah like they try and deceive people. When they stand up for salat, now this is very important. They stand up with laziness. Now this is very frightening that these hypocrites are praying. So maybe we could be amongst their number, God forbid. That they get up to pray, but how do they pray? Languidly, lazily. Oh God, I still have to pray. I haven't prayed as yet. وَيُرَاءُونَ النَّاسِ Showing people. Everyone's getting up to pray, I'd better get up and pray as well, otherwise it looks bad. Everyone's praying sunnah after the first, so I should pray sunnah too maybe. I don't want people to think I'm not a good Muslim. يُرَاءُونَ النَّاسِ Showing people.
وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا
They do not remember Allah but a little. And this is what's the most frightening thing. These people are praying and they're remembering Allah. But they're praying languidly and they're remembering Allah very little. Distracted, thinking of this and that. This is the prayer of the hypocrite, as the Prophet ﷺ once said, the one who delays till the last moment, gets up, hurriedly pecks at the ground like a rooster pecking the ground, and then he said, تِلْكَ صَلَاةُ الْمُنَافِقِ Such is the prayer of the hypocrite. And we can analyze our own prayers. مُزَبْزَبِينَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ لَا إِلَهَا أُولَيْ وَلَا إِلَهَا أُولَيْ Swaying between this and that. Neither to these nor to those. This is the tragedy of the hypocrite. He wants the best of both worlds and he ends up getting neither. And he whom Allah sends astray, you will not find for him a way. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا O you who believe, do not take the disbelievers as friends other than the believers. Do you wish to offer Allah a manifest proof against yourself? إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ Indeed, the hypocrites will be in the lowest depth of the fire. Why the lowest depth of the fire? Lower even than the disbelievers? Why? Because the hypocrite's inner self is a kafir. And so his outcome will be the same as an outward kafir. That filth, that venom which he contained within himself, that will be exposed. And why will they be in the lowest depths of the fire? Because they are even greater enemies of Islam than the outward kafir. Because the hypocrite set such a bad example that other people seem and relax. Well, he is also not reading all his prayers. And she also gets up and reads Fajr Qaza. So what's the big deal about it? إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ The hypocrites will be in the lowest grade of the fire. And remember the hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ said that on the day of judgment a martyr will be brought and Allah will say, what did you do for me? And he will say, I gave my life for you. And Allah will say, you lie. You did it so that people should say you were a martyr. Throw him into the fire and he will be thrown into hell. And then a scholar will be brought forward. And Allah will say, what did you do for me? And he will say, I taught people the Quran for your sake. And I read the Quran for your sake. And Allah will say, you lie. You did it so that people should call you a scholar. So throw him in the fire. And he will be thrown into the fire. إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ Allah doesn't even want to think about them. That's how disgusting they are in His eyes. The hypocrites will be in the lowest grade of the fire. You will not find for them any helper. Does that mean that there's no room for hope? No. Allah says, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا There's still time to repent. There's still time to turn back. Except those who repent. And repentance purifies your heart. وَأَصْلَحُوا And they make amends. And this means that they repent and they purify their heart and they purify their outer deeds. وَعْتَصَمُوا بِاللَّهِ And they cling to Allah. In other words, they purify their faith. وَأَخْلَصُوا دِينَهُمْ لِلَّهِ And they make their deen for Allah alone. In other words, they acquire sincerity in their way of life. فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ Then they will be with the believers. وَسَوْفَ يُؤْتِ اللَّهُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا And Allah will grant the believers a great reward. Four things are mentioned here. The cure for hypocrisy. Sincere repentance. In other words, purification of your mind. Amendment of conduct. Purification of your outer life. Devotion to Allah. Purification of your heart. And finally, akhlasu, ikhlas. Purification of your iman and your inner self. Then they will be the believers and Allah will grant the believers a great reward. مَا يَفْعَلَ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ It's not that Allah is harsh or sadistic, na'udhu billah, that He likes to punish people. مَا يَفْعَلَ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ إِن شَكَرْتُمْ وَآمَنْتُمْ Why should Allah punish you if you thank Him and believe in Him? Shukr and Iman, because the hypocrite is always whining, he's always complaining. Never got a good word to say about anyone. Why me? Why did this have to happen? So Allah says, The opposite of hypocrisy is one who does shukr. Why should Allah punish you if you thank Him and have iman in Him? And one aspect of shukr is when we use Allah's blessings the way Allah wants us to use them. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ شَاكِرًا عَلِيمًا And Allah is all appreciative, all knowing. We find in a hadith the gist of which is that some people will be taken to the gates of paradise. When they hear the merriment and the joy therein, they will be taken back with unparalleled bitter regret. They will complain, Oh Allah, it would have been better had we never seen paradise. Allah will say, I did this so you should feel great remorse. In the world when you were alone, you committed bad sins. In front of religious people, you pretended to be religious. You feared people, not me. You would leave sins for people's sakes, not mine. مَا يَفْعَلَ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ إِن شَكَرْتُمْ وَآمَنْتُمْ Allah says, it's so simple, what's wrong? Why should Allah punish you? All we have to do is shukr, to have iman, to use the blessings Allah has given us for His sake in the way He has taught us. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ شَاكِرًا عَلِيمًا And Allah is all appreciative, all knowing of our true intentions behind any good deed. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانًا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ